Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Elliott Shore Parks, as always, brought to you by your Tri-State Toyota dealers, proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles, who are currently in first place. Mr. Elliott Shore Parks. I got to punch up there, buddy. Big part of the Go Birds podcast, along with James Seltzer and, of course, our Eagles reporter. You can read them on 94WIP.com. Elliot, what's up, brother?
Man, it's a Friday. The Eagle season is still alive, and you guys let me back on the show after our argument on Monday. So I got nothing to complain about.
Argument on Monday? Was that Monday?
Yeah, it was this week.
Oh. Yeah, it feels like forever ago.
Yeah, it does, man. Wow.
All right. So
like, was that Monday? Okay.
Yeah, it was Monday. Been a long week. Elliot, so what is like it, you know, it's, I think a lot of Eagles fans kind of after last night's game and then even today were like, all right, I'm happy for the win, but like, how should I feel about this? Of course they should beat the Giants. They're at home, everything else. How did you feel?
You know, obviously it wasn't an incredibly impressive performance for most of the game. But I will say this, and I think I've said this, you know, that's how I feel almost all after all the games. If the game ends with the arrow pointing up on Carson Wentz, that's really all that matters during the regular season. I think that we would all agree there's a very good chance this team is either going to be in the playoffs or at least competing for a playoff spot toward the end of December. So all that matters until then is just seeing how Carson Wentz plays. And I thought last night he really struggled for a lot of the game early on. I thought a lot of the issues that have plagued him this season were there. But he also stepped up huge when they needed him. I mean, he was, I think his quarterback rating in the fourth quarter was 135. I thought his touchdown throw to Boston Scott might have been the best throw I've seen him make in an Eagles uniform when you consider the level of difficulty, the situation, and the fact that it came from the pocket.
So, considering it was a 5'6" wide receiver, too. I mean, running back, 5'6".
Right. I mean, the window on that throw was incredibly small. And not even just because of Boston Scott's height. It was just an incredibly small window to put that in. And he did it from the pocket, which I thought was, you know, a step in the right direction for him. So I leave that game last night feeling good, I mean, about where Carson is at and where the Eagles are at.
Okay. Well, that makes my job easy today because, you know me, man. I don't know how you're going to feel after some of these games, Elliot. But here's what I'll say about that game last night. When you look at Carson, right, at what point will – people have to, because I'm already there, and I've embraced this already, but at what point will people have to just be willing to live with a throw or two that we saw last night? In a Brett Favre sense, right? Like, Brett Favre made those type of throws as well throughout his career.
Yeah, I think maybe when it is just a throw or two and not, like, four or five or six throws. I thought there were
I'm talking about the interception. The one across the field is ridiculous. No one should ever make that throw that he tried to make to Travis Fulgham. No one.
I actually thought that throw was worse than the interception throw.
Me too. It was worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
In terms of just being purely reckless. I mean, look, Doug talked today about kind of comparing Carson to Brett Favre and how you kind of have to take the good with the bad and, you know, how tough Brett was and how he was a fighter out there on the field. And I think you do see some of that in Carson. I just think, you know, ultimately with Carson, there's always going to be those one or two throws. He's halfway through the fifth year in the league. And, you know, for him to take that next step, you know, you hope he cuts that down. But, you know, if he wins these games close and he steps in the fourth quarter, then I think people will start to live with it. The issue is, over the last, you know, 2+ years, they've been a 500 football team. So I think with almost like everything, once they start to win more, those turnovers won't matter as much.
Yeah, and here's what I'll say, at least from my initial thought with him on this. I don't recall, and it doesn't mean that they don't matter, but it does matter when the turnovers happen. In other words, that happened early enough, you can overcome that. Right, so if you make that throw in the first half of a game, and you don't make that in the fourth quarter during winning time, that's different. And I, at least off the top of my head, I can't remember where he's made that type of a throw late in a game that costs you the game, where he throws a bad interception, much like Brett Favre would do. Like Brett Favre's interceptions would cost the Packers games at times. Carson's usually come earlier in the game.
Well, and I think, you know, I guess for both of these questions, the next step for Carson and really the whole team is getting leads early. Like, it's not always Carson's fault that they fall behind early, but I think we would all agree watching, the offense consistently comes out slow. And so if the defense is struggling whatsoever, they find themselves down, you know, 17 points out, you know, like they did last week against the Ravens and, you know, like they have frequently. So in 2017, Carson came out hot, the team came out hot, and he was still making these kinds of throws. They just didn't stand out as much because they were always up 14 points, you know, by that time the first quarter ended. So I think that's the next step for Carson and this team in terms of making those throws not matter as much.
Yeah, see, Elliot, and I think it's pretty clear what's going on. He was not protected. After their script, which worked very well, I thought they came out, they looked very good. Got to give Doug credit for that. But after that, he had no protection. He's running all over the place, and that's when he's trying to do too much. He's throwing the ball all over the place. Like, and that's where Doug has control to run the ball, to take some shorter passes. Like, if you're not getting protection, why are you dropping him back every time, trying to make him – like, he feels like he's got to do it or they're not going to do anything, right? So it's one of my criticisms from Doug, and I know you were big – you were pointing up on Doug last week. His arrow's pointing down again this week. He had – Doug can manage the game better with Carson. He can coach better. He can call better plays to help avoid that. You knew that interception was coming. You knew that interception was coming when he threw it because it was just – it was leading up to that
point. It was a matter of time.
Yes, and it happened exactly when you thought it was going to.
So where I would disagree with you, and I did think Doug had a lot of specific plays last night where there were bad calls, like the Akeem Butler fade. I didn't like the run with Boston Scott on 3rd and 1. I didn't really like either of the play calls on the 4th down conversion. And I think there's definitely some truth to what you're saying, but – I also think that sometimes Doug calls the plays, the protection's there, and Carson just holds on to the ball. Like, he sees somebody, or and he'll, you know, pull it back, or he'll scramble. And that's not really Doug's fault. So, you know, maybe you could run the ball to try to get Carson in check. But again, ultimately, like, he's the franchise quarterback that you're paying all this money to. I can't really ask Doug to call a play where you're not being aggressive with him. And so I think that the line's an issue. But Carson, I mean, last night specifically, I would say, especially in the first half, held on to the ball, I thought, at times where – you know, he could have gotten rid of it, or you know, there were throws there to be made, and kind of got himself into trouble the way he navigated himself in the pocket. Mm,
I think that's fair. A lot of people asking now about Jake Elliott with another bad miss 29-yarder, and Ike and I were talking about it, kind of just deeping into the salary implications. Doesn't seem like he's going anywhere, because you take a big dead cap hit if you were to get rid of him. I don't think that you're there yet with Jake Elliott to where you're looking to cut him and bring somebody else in, but you might be a step or two away to where you should be. But do you know exactly what we're talking about with the salary, and do you think that we're there yet?
Yeah, so the contract that Howie Roseman gave Jake Elliott kind of slid under the radar, but you handed a kicker a 5-year, $20 million contract, and Jake's been very good, so I can see why you would have confidence in him. But as we've seen, I mean, we all remember Alex Henry, things change quickly with kickers in the NFL. Alex Henry was the most accurate kicker, I think, in franchise history, or maybe for a portion of time, league history, and then he was absolute trash a year later. So things can change quickly. Jake Elliott, if they cut him, they're not going to cut him this year, but if they were to cut him this year, it would be an $8 million dead cap hit. If they even cut him next year, it's a $5 million dead cap hit. So they are very much tied to Jake Elliott. I think your only hope is just to hope he turns it around. I guess if it were to get really bad, you could IR him with some type of injury and just bring in another kicker. They're never going to have two kickers on the roster. That just doesn't make any sense. So you just have to hope he turns things around.
Awesome. DeSean Jackson, is this a rest of the year thing with him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a chance maybe he could possibly come back the last few weeks of the season. If you remember last year, with that sports hernia. There was talk that he would have played in the second round of the playoffs had they advanced that far. So mm-hmm. I think there's a small chance you see Deshaun, but I think there's a better chance he's probably taking his last snap in an Eagles uniform. And it's a shame because last night the injury really came on a play where I thought it was a late hit, which caused it. So,
oh, it was?
Yeah, it was definitely a late hit, the way he twisted his ankle. So, but I would be surprised if you see Deshaun back this year.
Mm.
Oh, Hightower, only two targets, caught the deep ball. I'm trying to figure out how can we get him a little more involved in the offense other than just mm-hmm. that deep ball down the sideline.
Well, I don't know if Hightower's game is really going to be like a high
volume catcher. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's shown he can get behind defense. He's done it three times over the last 2 weeks. And coming off the Deshaun question, like, I think this is exactly why it's beneficial to continue playing him. He drops that first pass against the Ravens. He catches the next one that comes his way, and then he has another one this week. Like, that's improving him. That's getting him confidence. That's allowing him to overcome that mistake. You know, if you have guys like Deshaun and Alshon active, Hightower maybe doesn't get those snaps after that drop last week. So I think you'll continue to see deep shots to him. I don't think you'll ever see him get 7 or 8 targets. If you do, you know, things have gone really poorly in the offense. I think you'll see Fulgham, Greg Ward, Rager when he comes back. Those will be their high-volume targets. But Hightower is showing he has the speed, and he's caught 2 or 3 deep. So, I think he's definitely showing signs of improvement.
Yeah.
Well, he's caught 2 or 3 of the last deep passes. I mean, he's
going to
forget about
the
yo, okay, I was going to say, there's other balls that were thrown.
Mm-hmm. John Hightower, DK Metcalf, and Jamison Crowder are the only players with more than one 50-yard catch this year. How about that, Elliot?
There you go. Howie Roseman can pin that on his offense for everybody that says that.
I'm glad you brought up Howie Roseman, because here's the thing here. When does the narrative start to change for Howie? And I know you haven't been. You haven't been a guy that's crushed Howie. At least I don't believe. I might be wrong, but I don't think you've been a guy that's been crushing Howie. You know, these young guys continue to develop. This is a case that's being made for Howie Roseman. These are his players. We blame them when they don't catch the ball, when they don't play well. People want him out of here. They blame him. Well, when they start to play well, he needs to receive credit for these young guys that he brought here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, look, even Travis Fulgham, a guy that they picked up off the waiver wire and is now looking like a complete steal. And that's really what I think makes the NFL the funnest sport to cover. Things change so quickly, and they're always accurate when they change, too. Like Howie, 2 weeks ago, everyone that was ripping him, absolutely correct to rip him. Now you look, you know, Greg Ward's playing well. John Hightower's playing well. Travis Fulgham looks like he's going to be a steal. Josh Sweat, Derek Barnett, like these guys on the defensive line are turning around too. So, you know, on the larger discussion of is it good if the Eagles win, are they better off not making the playoffs, that type of thing. Like the Eagles are a bad team right now. We all see that with our eyes. But that doesn't mean in 6 weeks they'll be a bad team. Like things do change quickly. So I'm still, especially after last night, very much in the camp of, you want this thing to turn around. You want the moves that Howie's made to start to look like good moves. It doesn't benefit anybody, especially Carson, if this thing falls apart. You don't want to ruin the rest of the year just to get Howie out of here. He has struggled, but he's not that bad of a general manager where you need to tank just to get rid of him.
How do you explain Dick Rogers' 18 targets, 184 yards this year? Zach Ertz, 45 targets, 178 yards this year.
I mean, I don't know how you explain that one. I mean, obviously, Zach Ertz is a better player than Richard Rodgers, so I don't think there's...
I'm not sure, dude. I'm not so sure.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah.
Why are you so sure?
I mean, do you think Richard Rodgers is a better player than Zach Ertz?
I think right now Richard Rodgers can get open, and Zach Ertz can't.
Well, first of all, they're asking to do different things. They're covered in completely different ways. So when you talk about how Zach Ertz is covered each week, when he was out there before he was getting injured, he was being covered and double-teamed by the team's best cornerback. Richard Rodgers has got there allowing to get open because he was against the Rams. They had Jalen Ramsey on him at times.
Yeah.
So Richard Rodgers is a guy that the defense is not exactly paying close attention to when he goes out.
That's very obvious. That's very obvious. Has he made one contested catch? Every catch he's made has been wide open, hasn't he?
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I think Zach Ertz could make those plays, but it was definitely good to see the tight end step up last night. They needed it. I mean, you look at that game, Richard Rodgers, a 30-plus yard catch on their game-winning drive. I mean, it was
that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Elliot, you going pumpkin picking this weekend without a game on Sunday?
Oh, come on. You already know I have my pumpkins. I've had my pumpkins out for about 2 weeks already. So I got a nice display in front of the house, got a few inside. So I'm good to go.
All right. Well, enjoy your weekend, bro.
Enjoy.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
There he is, Elliot. I will not be going pumpkin picking.
This counts as like a bye week for you, though.
I love bye weeks.
I think my daughter is going to a pumpkin patch tomorrow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife and her girlfriend and their kid, all the kids went.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yesterday.
I'm not going. She'll be 15 next month. What am I doing? I'm not going to a damn pumpkin patch with my
you're good.
Teenage daughter.
Yeah, I get two Sundays now. Really, we all get two Sundays of watching Red Zone. Because the Eagles are next Sunday night. I can't wait.
Well, I got the bye week after that, so you have, really have three.
Oh, three!
Oh, John's.
It's like three bye weeks.
Hey, 4 weeks from now, John's gonna have a great pulse on the rest of this. The rest of the league.
Oh man, I'll know. Maybe
not scouted everybody.
Oh, it's gonna be great. Great waiver wire additions.
All right, let's get back to the phones and let's do it with our Twitter question, brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville. If you're getting engaged, Mark's Jewelers is the place to go. 25,000 square foot showroom online. Marks-Jewelers.com. Is Carson Wentz clutch? I mean, it almost feels like too easy of an answer. Jack, especially after last night, and people
I just want to see what the pulse of the fan base is. How clutch do people think Carson is?
86% say he's clutch.
If you asked that question a year ago.
A year ago?
Two games ago.
Yeah. How about 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I was going to say 3 weeks ago.
So we should do it every week.
You think Gilio saw it and his head's exploding?
Yeah, but you know what? I got to tell you, since that Rams game, man, he's never going to be perfect. But since that Rams game, even in that Bengals game where he had rough throws, again, early in the game, but it was his drives late in that game, his running to extend drives, picking up key first downs, allowed them to even tie that Bengals game.
Yeah.
Like, that allowed them to do that.
No, you actually felt like they were going to win in overtime because they had the momentum. Yep.
Yes. So that's a fourth quarter right there for him. I wonder what his fourth. Well, we know what the Washington fourth quarter looked like. That was garbage.
We don't talk about that. That's when he wasn't clutch.
First game of the season. We don't remember that. It's a good football team, Mike. Or it's not a bad football team. Sorry,
not a bad football team.
Or maybe they are.
Boy, how many times did that question pop in my head last night watching that game?
A lot in the first three quarters.
Man.
All right. So here's something else. Are you worried about Doug? Mike, you worried about Doug?
No.
Not at all.
No.
All right. I am. I am. I mean, things were unraveling last night. I didn't even bring up because I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on the challenge. He didn't get the flag out there because he's relying on his guys upstairs to tell him.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like just watching the play real time. It's like, oh, that's a bad spot. Like, take a look at the replay. Take a look at the replay. It was a little bit late. I know he's relying on other guys, but that could have been huge, man.
Well, it was. They scored.
Yeah. Well, you end up coming back and winning it.
Yeah.
Now that's fourth down, and they have to decide whether they're going for it, which they probably would have.
I don't know.
Fourth and one.
You think they would have? I mean, it would have given them what, 17-10 lead? Because you got to think, if they don't get it, now Joe Judge is being crucified.
Yeah. Still 14-10.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see what they would have done. But you put pressure on them to decide what to do. And Doug a little bit late tossing it out there.
Yep.
So, Jack, you worried about Doug?
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just been brutal. I mean, I think he ran out of plays.
He's not been brutal.
Dude, I think he ran out of plays again last
he
night.
Did.
Well, he wasn't expecting to have that many plays in the first half.
It was a lot of plays, man.
It was a lot of plays, man.
His first 15 were pretty good.
They were.
They were very good. They had a screen that worked. Good design on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but here's why the fourth quarter worked. Because Carson Wentz put on his cape again. That's why it worked. Seriously, if Evan Engram doesn't drop that pass and Carson doesn't turn into Superman, we're 1-5-1 today, and we're wondering what the hell's going on, right? Like, we're looking at Doug Peterson and saying, like, dude, is this really our coach, right? Like, I mean, the Akeem Butler, terrible play call, right? Going for it on fourth and three. Like, I'm not going to kill him for going for it. I would have kicked the field goal. But even on that drive, so you're at the 7-yard line, second and goal, and you bring in Jalen Hurts? I mean, that's a terrible feel for the game. I mean, it's one thing if you're gonna have him throw it or you have a more creative game plan. Second and seven, you bring in Jalen Hurts, you take Carson off the field. Like, he didn't have a very good feel for the game yesterday with Jalen Hurts, right? Like, I mean, he's made too many decisions that could have cost his team. It did cost his team the previous 2 weeks, and he's doing it again yesterday. All right, to the phones, Mike in Philly. Mike, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, yo, what a win, huh? What a roller coaster of a win, I should say.
Exhausting, right?
Dude, it was like, oh, my God, it was driving me crazy. Sitting there watching the game, I'm like, why? Like, I don't even know if I could do the rest of this. And then it brings you in and out. But you know what? Mitch Williams said it perfect this morning. He said, and the next morning in the paper, it was a W. Birds won, not the Birds almost lost. So I'll take any win we can to get to the, you know, get to the playoffs.
Good attitude. Good point.
Right?
Yep.
That's right.
But my main point here is, am I the only person that was extremely upset about that hit to Jackson?
I
know everybody's upset about it, but come on, that's not that to me. That was intentional. That was targeting. He was clearly on the ground. The play was clearly over. That's fineable, and suspension.
I agree. I don't know if the suspension happened, but he's certainly fineable. Yes.
They should. I mean, they should at least suspend him for a game. I mean, it's one thing, like, if you're on the way down. Like, that hit was worse than Carson last year, in my opinion, from Clowney.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was just so,
I agree.
It was so clearly over.
Yep.
And, like, even after that hit, like, I'm watching the game, and I'm sitting there going, like, I'm not even, like, smiling as we're, like, coming back to win. And finally when we won, like, I put a smirk on my face. But that hit, like, almost ruined the whole game for me. Like, that guy can't catch a break, man. Like, he looked so good in the beginning of that game. Throughout the game, he was looking mobile. He was dancing. Like, he had that nice little run the first play of the game. Awesome. Looked like he was back. And then right back to where we're at. Put a fine on him.
Mike, thank you. I know that a lot of people have been down on Deshaun because of the injuries, and really he's played in just a handful of games since he came back, but I felt for the dude last night, man.
Yeah.
I really, really felt for him. You could tell that it was a pretty significant injury when he went down. And
yeah, I mean, listen, they say you can never go back. And we all wanted this to work out, including him. This guy's been trying to get back here to Philadelphia for 3 years, never wanted to leave. And it just hasn't worked out, man.
Nope.
It just has not worked out the way we thought it was. And it's disappointing. You know, like Elliot said, you know, we may have seen him for the final time in the Eagles uniform. We'll see what this season, how it plays itself out. If the Eagles give him a reason to come back and rush back to get back out there, then maybe he does. But we don't know what his team is going to be sitting at in 6 weeks. And if it's not looking good and you're not in a playoff race, Deshaun Jackson's not going to fight to get back on the field for the last two or three games of the season.
No.
So we could have seen him for the final time in an Eagles uniform.
Yeah.
In an Eagles uniform.
So all the thoughts of not seeing some of the young guys, you're going to
see it.
The young guys. Yeah,
you're going to see it. So to me, he was really the only guy that was a real – although I don't know what the hell they're going to do with Alshon. I have no idea. I don't even know if they want to play Alshon.
Yeah, I mean, he's already hurt. He's already hurt. He didn't play. He's already hurt again.
Huh? He is?
He's got the calf.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Oh, 215-592-9494. One of the more entertaining plays from last night was the Daniel Jones run for so many different reasons.
Oh,
right?
man.
Including
that's top five play last night.
And we're going to, yes, absolutely. And we're going to have Slay on, Darius Slay coming on at 4 o'clock. We'll ask him about it because Daniel Jones is outrunning some of the defensive backs of the Eagles.
Well, he outran everybody. Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, but Nick Elrobe Coleman was kind of jogging.
Well, I think that's as fast as he runs. And then he just, I
that's
think he
even
just
worse.
Gave up.
If that's as fast as he runs, that's even worse.
And Jalen Mills was outrunning Nickell Robey-Coleman, which is a problem.
There's a video that's out there. Trey put it out on his Instagram where it's slow motion of Daniel Jones literally, and you're just seeing Robey-Coleman disappearing in the play because he's being outran.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that, but we also have the call of it. Friend of the station, Ross Tucker, had an all-time reaction to him falling down. We'll play that coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.